get a chance to speak to him. I know you want to. John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you remember what happened? Those Israelites in their rebellion were suffering the bite of sin, those venomous snakes. And the Lord told Moses, he said, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, a serpent made out of brass. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to Calvary's cross, all the sins of all of God's people he bore in his body and put them away once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. And the Lord told those children of Israel, whosoever looks to that serpent will live. And the next verse says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And a few verses later, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above, from heaven, from God. Faith is a gift of God. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. You have your bulletin. Tom's going to come lead us in the hymn on the back of your bulletin.
How rich the depths of love divine, of bliss and boundless store. Dear Savior, let me call thee mine, I could not wish for more, I could not wish for more. On thee alone my hope relies, beneath thy cross I fall. My Lord, my life, my sacrifice, my Savior and my all, my Savior and my all. How great thy wisdom, power, and grace that in redemption shines. The heavenly host with joy confess the work is all divine. The work is all divine. Before his face they cast their crowns, those crowns which Jesus gave, and with 10,000 tongues proclaim his power to save, proclaim his power to save.
Please be seated.
Good to be here. Turn with me for the God's call to worship to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I thought, well, I might as well say just whatever he said, listen to that, and we'll pray. John chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 10 with the Lord speaking to Nicodemus. He says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? See, Nicodemus was the, quote today, Bible answer man. If you want to know something, you went to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. You've seen me, you saw my miracles, and yet you don't receive. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, that's Christ, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Most misunderstood of anything in your services. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's it, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't have to come to this earth to condemn man. Man was condemned already. We're all guilty. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here's the condemnation. That light, which is Christ, is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. Is that ever you? Oh, I fear if you don't see that, then you're still in darkness. Lest darkness, because their deeds were evil. Deeds were evil. Forgive me, said that. You know, when I see somebody I know that's religious, I'll duck down three aisles and go the other way so I don't have to meet, because I just don't hear all the wonderful things they've been doing for God. God said, all our deeds, my best deeds that I think are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You've heard said, and I'm thankful to hear from this pulpit, that it's not our sin that keeps us from Christ, it's our righteousness. And men and women don't want to hear God tell them that your best righteousness is filthy rags. But he that doeth truth, that believes on Christ, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Any good deeds I have, God had to, he had to bring them about in me. It's all in God. My only hope is in Christ. My only hope is in Christ. Let us try to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray that you will take this prayer, as feeble and as sinful as it is, and that you will make it acceptable to God the Father. We pray for your people, wherever they gather this morning, Lord, that you would be pleased to meet with us, and that your servant, Brother Greg, and your other gospel preachers, Lord, that you would speak through them, and that you would put your spirit in them and give them the ability to declare Christ and his righteousness alone. And as your people, we pray, Lord, you would give us the faith to believe what is preached, and that all glory would go to you. And we thank thee, Lord, that there was a time we would not come to the light, but you said, I will make them willing, and you made us willing to come and to see that our righteousness is filthy rags, and we need the righteousness of Christ. We're thankful that you give that to your people. We ask these things for your glory.
Number 352 from the hardback hymnal. 352. Let's stand together once again.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me again to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. When the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai, and the Lord was about to lead them away from there, Moses prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't take us from this spot. We don't want to be left out there in the wilderness without you. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Eli had two sons. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas, and they were working as priests, but they were unfaithful to the gospel. They offered strange fire to God, and they were false prophets is what they were. And the Lord brought judgment against Israel. And the Philistines came in, and there was a great battle, and many of the Israelites died, and the scripture says the Philistines took the ark, and the messenger came back from the battlefield and reported to Eli that your sons are dead, and the ark's been taken. And when Eli heard that the ark had been taken, he fell over dead, and Phinehas' wife was expecting, and she went into labor when she heard that the ark had been taken. And in her dying breath, while giving birth to her child, she named her son Ichabod. Ichabod. Translated, it means the glory of the Lord has departed. Now I can say to you as your pastor that the one thing that grips my heart with fear more than anything else is that God would leave us to ourselves. That he would write over the doors of this building, Ichabod. And when that happens, it's because the ark has been taken. The gospel has been lost. The sad thing is that where, if you had eyes to see, where you could see the word Ichabod written over the doors of most religious meeting houses, the people that are there don't know that God's not there. They don't know the glory of the Lord has departed. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord speaks a rebuke to five of the seven churches in Asia, and the church at Sardis. In Revelation 3, the first few verses, he said to them, and they have the gospel, he said, "You have a name that you are alive, but you're dead." What a fearful thing. How do I know? I fear that the glory of the Lord departing is sort of like the frog in the kettle. You know, it doesn't know what's happened. It just dies before the truth of it is known to his heart. Lord, I won't be like Moses. Lord, don't take me unless you're with me. And I know each of you who know Christ are saying, "Lord, don't leave me to myself. Or don't depart from my life. Don't depart from my church. Keep me. Keep me." And we have the precious promise of the Lord who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will. I will. And they shall. They shall." In the church at Sardis, the Lord, if you read on in that rebuke, he says, there are some here who still have the white garment of righteousness. They're still looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for the hope of their salvation. They're going to be kept. They're going to be kept. The church is going to die. In Zechariah chapter 8, we have some wonderful words of promise that will give us encouragement to know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. This is sort of a continuation of the first hour in that when the Lord said, "I will and they shall," these are the "they shalls" that come as the result of the "I will." And it begins in verse 9, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts," thus saith the Lord of hosts, "let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets." When the Lord gives us ears to hear what the prophets are really saying, when he causes us to know that, as I said in the previous hour, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the central theme of the Bible, he is the singular theme of the Bible. And everywhere we go in the Scriptures, we're led to see the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the law and the prophets testify of me. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Now, how's the man of God going to be thoroughly furnished? Christ Jesus the Lord is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is being lifted up, the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. To believe what the prophets are declaring about the Lord Jesus Christ. About him as the singular theme of Scripture. As the one thing that is needful, as the fullness of the Godhead, and the one and only one who satisfied the demands of God's justice, so that God was able to be just and justifier of them that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified in Christ. justified. Now that means we've got no sin before God. No sin. Perfect in Him. All the sins that we are each so painfully aware of are not in the new man. The scripture says, as He is, so are we in this world right now. He that sanctifieth and they, that word sanctified means to be made holy. He that sanctifieth, who is that? It's the Lord Himself. And they which are sanctified. They which are sanctified. When were we sanctified? When were we sanctified? When were we made holy? They, he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all as one, so that He is not ashamed to call them His brethren. Here's our hope. Our hope is that the prophets all pointed to Him. John the Baptist was the last of the prophets. And what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Did the Lord Jesus Christ successfully take away our sins? Did He successfully put them away once and for all by the sacrifice? Did His blood successfully go to the mercy seat in heaven? There's the evidence that He's among us. We're not interested in preaching a message that's going to cause men to take pride in something that they've done. We're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll be among you. Here we are. Here we are. So we have, He said, let your hands be strong, and you shall hear the words of the prophets. You shall hear the words of the prophets in the volume of the book it is written of me, for I have come to do thy will, O God. All this is about Him. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is being lifted up, then He's among us. He's among us. Look at the rest of this. Look at the rest of this verse. Which were in the days that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. When was the foundation? Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I am a master builder. And I've laid the foundation. And if any man build on that foundation, then it'll stand. It'll be precious stone and silver and gold. But if you build on any other foundation other than that foundation, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. Christ is that foundation. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. How do I know that God is with me? That's the pressing question. I don't want to be lulled into some sort of spiritual stupor where Ichabod is written over my head and I don't know it. I don't know it. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 18. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were near. Now he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. The same gospel message. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 17. So the same gospel message is preached to the religious and the irreligious, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't establish our own peace with God. A sacrifice has to be made. God demands a blood sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that was able to do that. And here's the message of the gospel. Peace I give you. Peace I leave unto you. Not like the world gives. To the world, peace is nothing more than the absence of conflict. Peace is all about prosperity. Peace is all about having, having an easy life. The thing that the child of God's most concerned with, do I have peace with God? And more oftentimes than not, when we have peace with God, the Lord's going to send necessities and conflicts and trials and troubles into our lives in this world in order for us to look to Him, to trust Him, isn't He? So this message of peace is the message of Christ. Verse 18, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. The Lord's writing to the Gentiles and He's saying, there's no longer a wall separating you. You've been brought into the household of God, and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So this foundation, the Scripture makes clear, is Christ. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. He tells us that here in Ephesians. Christ being the chief cornerstone of the foundation, the temple of God, which is the house of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, is the habitation of God. This is where He resides. Now I want to be where God is, don't you? I want to be where He is. This is the place where He resides. Where Christ is lifted up, where the foundation is laid. And when was this foundation first laid? When was it first laid? It was first laid in the heart of God, in eternity. You know, we have no way of comprehending eternity, do we? We believe things we don't understand. How can we understand a God who had no beginning? And yet the Lord makes it clear, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And Christ, that Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, was slain in the covenant of grace from eternity past, we say. In fact, there is no past, present, future, and eternity. None. Child of God takes his last breath and opens his eyes in glory. He's not going to look around and think, isn't this wonderful? Comparing what he's now experiencing to where he came from? No. You can't have any memory of time in eternity. You can't compare eternity to where you came from. You can't say, isn't this wonderful compared to where I've been? No, when you open your eyes in glory, you're going to discover you've always been there. Always been there. And how are you going to understand that? We're creatures of time, aren't we? We're creatures of space. But here's what God says. The foundation was laid in eternity. And it hasn't moved. And everything that's built on this foundation is where I am. It's my habitation. It's my habitation. When Christ bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross, Scripture says he was lifted up for our offenses and raised again because of our justification. We were justified before God. When the Lamb of God, who was without spot and without blemish, suffered the full wrath of God's justice and died on Calvary's cross. Oh, what hope we have. Here's what the Lord's saying. When Moses said, Lord, don't take us from this spot if you're not going to go with us. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go before you. I'll be behind you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the evidence that I am with you is the attention that I put in your heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The desire, the need that you have for Him. Verse 9, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid and the temple might be built. That's what's happening right now. The temple of God is being built. One stone upon another. And Peter calls us living stones. Living stones. Knit together with the love of Christ. For before these days there was no hire of man, nor any hire of beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. Now, some of us came out of religion. Who wants to go back to that? Who wants to go back to that self-righteous, Christ-denying, contentious, pretentious pattern of man-made free will religion? That's what the Lord's saying. He said, that's the way it was before, whenever man was against his neighbor, but now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. Now things are different. For the seed shall be prosperous. Prosperous. Wealthy. Now all these Old Testament types are spiritual pictures. The scripture makes it clear that the true Israelite is not the descendant of Abraham according to the flesh, but those who follow the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and the true child of Abraham is that one who's been circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart by the hand of God. The one who believes what Abraham believed, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So all these Old Testament promises, you know, people talk about, you know, God's got a holy land over there. He's got a special people. This is the holy land. You are the special people. This is true Israel. And so these promises of prosperity and peace are gospel promises to God's people. How much more wealth can a person have than to have Christ? The pearl of great price. The one for whom you would lose everything to keep. Everything. That's the wealth the world doesn't know anything about, isn't it? And so the Lord says, where I am and where my foundation is laid and where my habitation is being built, it's not going to be like before. I'm going to be among the residue of my people, the remnant, the few. And their seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit. Galatians chapter 5 makes it clear that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, patience, self-control. Against such there's no law. This is the work of the Spirit of God when we're able to find our hope in Christ. This is the spiritual union that we have through Christ. And the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. Oh, how oftentimes when Christ is lifted up, the Lord's pleased to open the windows of heaven and cause the showers of his blessings to soothe our souls and give us peace and give us hope, give us comfort. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. All these spiritual blessings. And all the spiritual blessings of God. Peace, salvation, hope. All the things that really matter. You in your mind right now, go to that moment in time that's going to come sooner than we think. When you're lying on your deathbed, assuming that God gives you a chance to have any thoughts before he takes your life, and ask yourself in that moment of truth and in that moment of time, when you're about to draw your last breath and depart this world, what's important? Because what's important in that moment is the only thing that's important now. And all this this other stuff is nothing more than distraction, isn't it? And how distracted we can get. Lord, don't leave me. Don't ride Ichabod over me. That's my greatest fear. My greatest fear is I lose sight of Christ. Lord, you're going to have to keep me. You're going to have to keep me from falling. And you're going to have to present me faultless before thy throne. And you're going to have to do it all. And it shall come to pass, verse 13, that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. And I repeat what I said the first hour. The person who's not afraid doesn't have to hear fear not from God. It's grace that causes our heart to fear, and grace our fear is relieved. Verse 7, I'm not afraid. I never doubt my salvation. I'm confident. I'm glad. I know God gives different measures of faith. He hasn't given me that measure of faith. I see too much of my flesh and too much of the, Lord, you've got to save me. Turn me again. The truth is that fear and faith do exist both together in our hearts, don't they? Let your hands be strong. What were they doing? What's Zechariah? Zechariah, you know the historical setting here. They had just come back from Babylon and they're rebuilding the temple, aren't they? And God's people want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of the church, the building of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer and participation and service. And the Lord said, let your hands be strong. Don't be afraid. Church is the only thing that's going to exist. I'm going to shake the foundations of this world, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only thing that won't be shaken is that which is built on that one foundation, of which Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. The only thing that's not going to be shaken. Nations are going to be shaken. Jobs are going to be shaken. Everything, isn't it? Everything. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. What's the Lord say? 70 years ago, I allowed the Babylonians to come in and to take your fathers off into captivity because of their unbelief. The ark had been taken, the children of Israel weren't looking to Christ, and they were carried off into Babylon. But now I brought you back. And just as passionate and determined as I was to rebuke them, I am that determined to bless you. Bless you. Don't be afraid. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. We've seen it over the years, haven't we? People show up out of religion. Sometimes they're bold enough to say what they believe. And they find that they don't have the support here that they had back in their free will works religion, and either the Lord's pleased to shut their mouths and open their ears and give them grace to believe on Christ, or they leave. The believers speak truth to each other, don't they? They speak about Christ. They don't.
They don't, but Michael, you were talking about, you know, religious acquaintances, speaking of all the things they do for God. You don't hear believers boasting in the flesh about those sort of things. Speak truth. You know, the first time fear is mentioned in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, when God took Abraham, he said, Abram, be not afraid, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. There's your hope, Abraham. I'm your hope. I'm going to protect you from the enemy, and I am going to be your reward. And then the last time fear is mentioned is found in Revelation chapter 1, the last book of the Bible, where you remember in John has this vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he falls on his face as dead. And the Scripture says that the Lord puts his hand on John and says to John, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the one who ordained your salvation. I'm the one that accomplished your salvation. I'm the one that will see it to its end. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Speak ye, every man, the truth to his neighbor. God's people are not going to tolerate lies being told about God, about Christ, about salvation, about man. Are they? That's the evidence that God's among us. We can't tolerate lies about how it is a sinner to be made right with God. Not going to listen to it. Not going to be a part of it. Execute, and that word means judge. You see that in verse 16? Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Judge righteous judgments. Be discerning about truth and error. That's the evidence that God's among you. When you begin to compromise the truth, then it's evidence that the Lord has withdrawn himself, or he will soon. He will soon. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. I know we're men and women of flesh. We get aggravated with one another. We get angry at one another from time to time, don't we? But to imagine evil in your heart towards your brother, in the moment of truth, is to consider him to be a greater sinner than you are. All God's people can say, I'm the chief of all sinners. You know your sin better than anybody else's, don't you? I know I've made this statement many times over the years. I'm going to make it again. You don't know anybody in your life that's been given more truth, more light, more blessings, more opportunities, more grace, and remain as unbelieving as you are, do you? To whom much is given, much is required. To speak evil of your neighbor is to look down your self-righteous nose and declare that person is more of a sinner than I am. And the Lord said, look what he says. And none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor and love no false oath. What's a false oath? Well, that's what free will religion is all about. It's a false oath. God, I will, and you shall. I will give my heart to Jesus. I will believe on Jesus. I will do this, and I will. It's bargaining with God, isn't it? And demanding that God return that bargain with the blessing that you're bargaining for. That's a false oath. It's a lie. All these things that I hate, saith the Lord. All these things that I hate. God says, these things going on, I'm out of there. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. I want to leave a worship service, having heard from God, and having assurance of my salvation. If I'm hearing a message that makes me wonder if I'm saved, then that message has put something on me to cause me to look to myself. That's the only reason I would wonder if I'm saved, is if I'm looking to myself to see if there's something in me that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's nothing in you that's the way it's supposed to be. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. And I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. That's all this is, a house of prayer. The Lord rebuked those Pharisees because they had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. What had they done? They had made salvation something that you could buy from God. And what did Isaiah say? Come, come, without money, without price, without bargaining with God. Eat, drink. And the book of God finishes with if any man thirst, let him come. Drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. This is where our hope is. This is our peace. This is our prayer. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 23, in those days it shall come to pass, now get this, that 10 men shall take hold of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. God is with you. Lord, rebuke that church at Corinth, and because of their abuse of those spiritual gifts, and what do you say? They come in and they're going to think you're crazy, all standing up, giving a prophecy and speaking in tongues like that. He said, but if one have a prophecy, how did this passage start out? What do all the prophets speak of? They speak of Christ. If one have a prophecy, let him stand and speak. And the unbeliever will be convicted that God is among you. God is where Christ is being preached. It's where Christ is believed on, where Christ is trusted in. God be merciful and gracious to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very hopeful that you are here in our midst and that you will continue to be. Lord, don't leave us to ourselves. For Christ's sake, we pray that you would forgive us all the wanderings that we do in looking away from him. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us from falling, and present us faultless before thy throne. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Number 268, let's stand together.
Shall be